all the time you sit on an airplane.
Like I lied. Oh, well, I'm too busy raw dogging it.
Oh God.
We don't even need to.
You're just end the episode now. Thanks, everybody. It's been a good 13 seconds. Have a wonderful week.
Just killed it right there.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 551 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined by Mr. Foz Mamoon and Seth Miller. Gentlemen, good evening.
Howdy.
Seth, how is 25 for 25 going?
I hit my 15, yes, since last week. I got four more over 2 days, including the last Miami departure for JetBlue ever and the last Miami arrival ever. Good times. The airplane was, an A220 did an out and back from Boston, so I did both segments. It had a APU failure at some point, so when we went to leave Miami, it had a mechanical. They had to defer the APU and inop it, which took a couple hours, and while they were doing that, they had ground air hooked up from the jet bridge, but it wasn't working, and so the plane was 98 degrees inside.
Wow.
Because hooray Miami. And it was a steamy mess down there because it's, Miami in August. I guess probably September. And so they brought in a portable air cart and tried to cool it down. They got it down to 85 and they're like, we just need like another 20 or 30 minutes to get it finished cooling off. And I actually went up to the gate agent at that point. I was like, hey guys, not for nothing, but it's been an hour. And if it hadn't gotten colder than that, it's not going to get any colder. Like I know a little bit about thermodynamics. Like, no, it's doing it. I'm like, you do you, but you just sent 20 more minutes and you almost had a riot in the skate area. So good luck.
Wow.
People like, he's like, okay. Like they were making announcements the whole time. And he's like, hey, everybody, some good news. And like, everybody's thinking we're going to start boarding. He's like, just 20 more minutes. And the room I literally thought like someone was going to go crazy.
I mean, all the videos of fights are either DFW or Miami or Orlando. So,
yeah.
Fights in airports. It's a thing.
So anyways, we got back. I made it to the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning. That was not great, but, met the following day, like turned out on Boston to Nantucket. I think there were seven of us doing this thing and four or five continued on to White Plains. And then three or four continued down to Palm Beach. It was the same plane all the way through for the day. So
did you also get the last E-190 flight?
I did not get the last E-190 flight. So I was booked on what was originally published as the last E-190 flight, and it wasn't officially announced or anything, but it was filed for September 4th, and it was flight 190. It was a pretty good hint that that's what they were planning it to be. And for reasons, and I don't know what they are, but for reasons, they pushed it out to, I believe, the 9th. And so the 9th, there's going to be a Boston, JFK, Boston, or JFK, Boston, JFK, whatever. It's going to do a round trip as a special going away, whatever. The final flight, though, when they originally published the one for the 4th, they just published it as a regular ticket. And so it was like $65 or whatever. When they published it the second time and decided it was officially the final flight, they jacked the price up. It was basically full Y only, like $500. So A, I'm not willing to pay that much for a JetBlue event, and their comms team won't invite me to media events anymore. So that wasn't happening. And B, I'm actually moderating a panel conversation Wednesday morning in Long Beach, California for a conference that starts actually Monday. So I'm flying out on Sunday. So I couldn't be there anyways, but.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, a lot of reasons why it ended up falling apart for me. But yeah, not happening.
Too bad. Too bad.
Yeah, I got my last. I did get one last E-90 flight on one of my early trips. And like, as I realized it, I was waiting for everybody else to deplane to get one picture of it empty. And the pilots and the flight attendants were like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, it's my last one. Sorry. And then they like started talking to each other, making fun of me. I'm like, guys, I'm standing right here. I'm like, yeah, we know.
Yeah. Oh, you don't care. Nerd.
You're still here.
We would like to get off the airplane now.
I knew about that issue, and I did actually. I can't remember if they were doing the turn or not, but I did wait. Like, there was one family left, and I walked off right behind them. So,
gotcha. We got some follow up from last.
Yes. Week. I don't remember if it was you or me, Stephen, but we got some feedback from one of our listeners, Ryan, up in Bangor, who would like us to remind us that it's Bangor, not Bangor.
Oh, that's me. It's definitely me, Bangor, Maine. I mean,
no. Now I'm gonna get another angry email from Ryan.
All right, Ryan, calm down. Bangor, Maine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he actually, there's a pretty fun video that I was watching about it as we're starting the episode. So I will put a link to that in the show notes because it's amusing. They got
But it's kind of like when I mumble Foz's name. It's just kind of one of those words that just doesn't. I'm just like, I get past it.
You're using muscle memory to say my name.
Yes, exactly.
Or the name of the Middle Eastern country with the capital in Doha.
Yes, like that one.
That none of us ever say the same twice in a row.
Exactly. The other follow up is Allegris.
And I actually updated the show notes after we had last week's episode. But during the episode, I mentioned, you know, we talked about this. Lufthansa took their first deliveries, and there was talk about certification was done for the business seats. That is actually not true. I had some bad info when I repeated it, so I apologize for that. Only the bulkhead row seats are certified.
So does that mean they can't put people in the rest of the seats?
They are not selling the other business class seats.
We only have 4 seats available to Toronto.
However many seats on the plane, it's J4. Good luck, fellas.
Oh, my God. Oh. All right, let's talk about new stuff.
I'm sure how desperate they are. They took them anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot believe it's taking this long to certify a seat.
Yeah.
It's been a decade.
Well, yes and no, but yeah. Well, it's definitely been more than a year.
They did have to wait for the 78s to show up, because this is specific to the 78s, right?
It is, but certification happens through, like, crash test dummies on a sled, not in the aircraft itself.
Like, you don't need the plane to actually do the certification.
Yeah, you know what the plane is going to look like, you know what the mechanics of it are, but you do the testing on the ground in another environment. So they should have been able to have them certify earlier. Now, did they slow development because the planes weren't there? I don't know, but...
But it's Lufthansa. Are we really surprised?
Yes and no. They depend on suppliers for the seats also, right? But yeah, it's a mess.
No, but I mean, they have a life cycle, 15, 20 years on a business class product?
Yes.
Right? So like, why would we expect this product to be fully ready on day one?
Well, how else do you start the clock for 20 years, dude?
Well, that doesn't mean they didn't start the clock because there's 4 seats.
Why? We gave it to you.
On the technicality? Yeah. And then some new news, Spirit bankruptcy.
Yeah, the first tranche of route cuts came in. And so
you got just the list.
I'm gonna go back and find the post from you about it. But Albuquerque, Birmingham, Boise, Chattanooga, Columbia, South Carolina, Oakland, California, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, San Diego, and San Jose, California.
It's a lot.
And they're not starting service at Macon.
Which was going to be an EAS type route with.
Well, it was like in partnership with. It was a boutique, which was the EAS company.
Contour.
It was Contour. Right. Yeah, that weird, like, they're going to handle all the ground services for us, and somehow that's good for everybody. Partnership. Yeah. So, yeah, that, which never made sense, isn't happening. Looked at the numbers. They're relatively small stations. And a lot of the West Coast stuff, there was some North South stuff on the West Coast. A lot of it was just. Vegas flights. I do have to laugh a little bit, though. I don't remember if it's Sacramento or San Jose, but I'm pretty sure that was the route they pitched for DCA, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Was it San Diego?
No, it was one of the Northern California ones.
It's probably San Jose, because that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And Southwest did Sacramento via Vegas.
Yep. I mean, the Portland, everybody was like up in arms here about it. And I'm like, it was one flight a day. They were down to one flight already. And it was just to Vegas. It's not huge cuts here.
Yes. Spirit put in for San Jose, California. Ironically, the application talked about onward connections, which it turns out they didn't really have any of anyways. But
yes. I mean, is this isn't going to work. I mean.
What, trimming these routes?
Maybe they can focus on Florida more. But I mean, it's a lot of seats, right?
It's not a ton. It's like 3 or 4%, I think, of their current capacity, which admittedly is already down 20% year over year. But, and so this is another 3 or 4% on top of that, but they're talking about massive cuts to their fleet. There's going to be, I feel like this is they were easy because no one had booked them anyways, right? They're cutting them as of the first week of October. It's a real quick change.
Yep.
So yeah, like this is, we got rid of the easy ones. This isn't the hard work yet. The hard work is still happening, I feel like.
Okay. WestJet and a giant Boeing order.
Yeah, largest order in WestJet history. 60 MAX 10s, which don't really exist yet, but sure, fine. 7 Dreamliners. See, they definitely think there's still more long haul to be had.
I'm trying to figure out. I thought they were struggling.
They are.
Just because you're struggling, why would that prevent you from buying more?
I don't know. Spirit?
Ask you, Jet.
Ask Spirit? I don't know.
But they still bought them when they were struggling.
Yeah, and it's worked out very well for them.
When Spirit placed that order that they're now collapsing under, they were doing a little better, but yeah.
And is it 7, 8, 9s?
I think it's 9s, which is what they already have. So that does not seem like they're doing the Alaska Airlines 9-10 split.
Okay.
Although I think we talked about it last week, if there were going to be 5 of the 10s. I think someone said maybe it's only 3, but either way, they're definitely confirmed to put some 10s into the fleet.
Yeah. And then Singapore and Alaska are breaking up. I think someone just found it on the Alaska website. It hasn't actually been formally announced by Alaska. I haven't seen anything.
Airlines don't announce. I mean, no one announces cuts, but
Singapore did. Singapore did.
Did they put out a press release for it?
They put out a press release. Yeah. They said, hey, this isn't going to exist anymore. Cause I mean, heaven forbid. And so the partnership, I think it winds everything that's booked to the end of the year will still count. But things that are booked into next year will no longer count is how I read it.
Yeah. They expire like new bookings and October, first week of October, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you could ever find any Singapore space. And then LATAM is also, that partnership is also ending, which I think is actually maybe a bigger hit than Singapore. Because LATAM's coverage into South America is so good that I think that's a bigger sting. You're kind of forced to America now. That's really your only option.
Welcome to One World, baby.
Were you ever finding space on LATAM? Because I've never seen anything.
Quite a bit.
Okay.
It kind of dried up in the last, I'd say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Maybe it's part of this. But yeah, I was finding it pretty regularly. I was the one who told, remember I told you I found Sydney to Santiago and in business class as a reward, which I was amazed by. So,
and you didn't book it.
And I didn't book it. Too bad. So yeah, kind of some weird shakeups here. And people are wondering like what this means. I think it means Alaska's firming up some of their One World stuff. And I think maybe the I hate to use the word synergies with Singapore and LATAM just aren't there. I also think if I remember correctly, One World has a thing where if you sponsor an airline to enter One World, there's some technicalities with that. And I think Alaska sponsoring Starlux, which might have something to do with this.
Interesting. What I was going to say is I think historically Alaska played the field because it wasn't an alliance. I part of me thinks that this is just these contracts were expiring and they're not renewing them.
Yeah, it could be. That could be it too. I mean, although the LATAM thing was always a weird one, right? Because LATAM's cozied up with Delta.
I mean, Delta might have a hand in that.
Yeah. They're kind of tired of it.
Well, they probably just didn't want it.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're very head to head in Seattle, and Delta will do anything they can to stick it to Alaska.
Yeah. And then Alaska on the upside, the flip side, Alaska is starting flights to Reykjavik, Keflavik Airport. Summer seasonal on a max, but they're also keeping their Iceland Air partnership, which is smart, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird one. I told Foz, I tried to look up the inaugural, and they weren't selling F, but the cabin was empty, but they were selling premium economy, like their premium product.
Yeah.
But those seats were all blocked. So I don't know how that works. Maybe they're selling premium as F and they just they're not putting it in there. I couldn't tell.
Could also just be blocking. I mean, that's the sort of, we block a bunch of stuff for dignitaries and whatnot. We haven't figured out how and why yet.
Yeah. So that will start in the summer. And
it is a summer seasonal service. They've announced the end date too. It's just May through September.
Yeah. There's a lot of capacity from Seattle to Reykjavik. Like, Iceland Air flies a 7-6, they fly a 7-5-2, and now Alaska's starting this. That's a lot of seats.
Yeah.
So
a lot of it continues onward.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think the Iceland Air partnership makes sense.
Yeah. I say at least from Seattle, like, it's not a terribly short trip.
Seven hours on a max.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're in coach and you tuck your head in the corner to sleep, it's sort of the same.
What else we got? United is restarting Newark to Tel Aviv service and then boosting it. So they're starting Chicago November 1st to Tel Aviv and then Dulles to Tel Aviv starting November 2nd.
Iceland Air is 3 times daily in the summer?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's a ton of seats.
They're all listed as all as 321 Neos for next summer, by the way.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, there's a 345, a 710, and an 11:30 p.m. departure. Wow.
345. That's brutal.
Gets in at 6:15 in the morning, though, so you catch the early bank onto the continent.
Yeah, okay. People really... Anyway, no comment. I'll just be quiet. O'Hare and Dulles to Tel Aviv. Did not see that coming.
Why
did I not see it coming?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the Newark stuff, I thought they would bring that back, but Chicago's pretty...
Newark's already running.
Yeah, Newark's got double.
But, I mean, I just didn't see Chicago because I thought they might bring back San Francisco first. But maybe the demand hasn't returned there.
It gives them more options in Chicago than San Francisco. More connections.
Also, I would guess that San Francisco need more Polari routes that are available.
It was a 789 for a while, and then it was a 777W for a while. I don't know if it needs Polar for that.
Yeah, just I wonder what route it would take.
Yeah. And then DOT, rolling back consumer protections. So under the Biden administration, there was some legislation that was going through to make it for delays and cancellations to be covered. And you basically were going to get, you know, a refund or a partial refund for those types of things. But that sounds like it's on the chopping block.
Yep.
What's the story?
I mean, not too surprising. I think that was one of the many things that as soon as Trump took office, like they suspended the process of it because they definitely didn't want to actually be nice to people. And so it took them a little while here to, you know, for that to percolate up to the top of the list of things that they could kill. But the intent is to kill it and allow airlines to once again be mean to consumers as much as they want.
It's funny. I haven't seen Bastion much online, but I'm sure he's praising this.
Yes.
Bastion just kowtowed, right? And they are recognizing Gulf of America.
That's been there for months, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, that was from the beginning. I just wondered, like, Bastion at the beginning of when Biden announced this, he kind of went off the rails on it.
He was pretty upset.
So I'm just surprised I haven't seen him post anything publicly or say anything publicly. Maybe they just don't care. They're like, well, we got our way, so it doesn't matter.
Well, this is probably one of those things you want to do in the back office.
Yeah,
so you don't take the negative publicity with it.
Yep.
Yeah. I will say they're also, the airlines as part of these changes are also trying to push back the full fare advertising rule.
Oh, where they only advertise like a one way, or they advertise?
They don't have to include taxes and fees. Right. So there's a long time where like it was fares starting at $1, never mind the $600 of YQ that got tossed on top.
Yep.
And it was very, very difficult to comparison shop as a consumer, because you didn't really know what the fares were until well into the booking process. Unbundling made that harder as well, because again, you don't know like what seat assignments will cost or bags or anything else until you get into the booking process in most cases. DOT rules required more of that to be upfront, but not all of the ancillaries, but at least the taxes and fees and everything else. You had to know like there's a base number at which you cannot get onto the airplane below, and that number had to be visible in the initial search results. They want to roll that back because like everything else, the more they can obfuscate taxes, fees, and other bits in the fare, and they can sort of drip price you through the booking process, the better for the airline.
Wow.
Transparency good, obfuscation bad for consumers, and they'll say it's about making, you know, my favorite was the argument that the airlines made. It's like, well, with these rules, you don't know how much of your fare is to the airline and how much of it is taxes, which... A, not true, because there's nothing stopping them from listing both numbers. B, I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I have to pay.
Yeah, I don't care where the money goes. I want to know that I spent some money and I got on an airplane.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's kind of like some of this new, the excise tax on some of the ancillary type stuff, showing that. It's an interesting, I think it's confused a lot of people. I also think some of the implementations have been pretty bad.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
Isn't United, I think, is the one that you can see it now, but like if you purchase an upgrade or you do anything like a seat purchase or something, there's now an excise tax of a certain amount on that specific piece rather than on the fare. You've seen it, right, Foss?
I have.
I think like Alaska's tried to do some of it, but it's people are getting like double charged, which it makes sense for Alaska IT.
I was gonna say, are we surprised?
So yeah, it's there's, I mean, I'm all for, like, if you just show me the final price and show me, do a breakdown of the price, I can read. Like, we don't need it to be hidden.
You know, you talked about Tel Aviv, but you forgot to mention the return of Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, right on the anniversary of Smythe.
Sherman's Express, yeah.
Well, it's not only twice. It's not only a weekend flight, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's daily. That was actually, I wonder.
It's 5 days a week.
Five? Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder how much United was ready to stay. Also announced Chattanooga, which are two of the routes that Spirit is dropping. I wonder if they, like, and the quote in the press release was like, if Spirit stops operating, we want to make sure our passengers have choice. They literally put that in the press release, like, hard dig on the against Spirit. But I wonder how, did they have this lined up anyways, and they just decided to go for the jugular and put Spirit out of its misery, and then Spirit's like, haha, we're leaving anyways. I would be surprised if they could get it, because it came out like a day or two later after Spirit announced the changes. I'd be surprised if they made the move that quick versus having it sort of in the can and ready and it was convenient timing, but I don't know.
It is funny, though. I mean, it seems like United is really trying to get Spirit to go out of business. It's like actively working towards that.
I mean, so is Frontier.
True. Very true.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's there. It's an opportunity. Like, this is what the airlines do, right? They'll do one of two things. They'll either push someone out of their, when someone encroaches on the market, or when they sense blood in the water, they'll start flooding the market.
I did forget it, though. It's Columbia, South Carolina, and what was the other one? Chattanooga. Yeah.
On 550s, so nothing crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge commitment for United. It's, yeah. And then, Seth, you wanted to talk a little bit about Dorkfest. What do you want to talk about?
It's happening next weekend, this weekend, very soon. What is the date? The 13th of September in Los Angeles. If you aren't familiar with it, it's... Cranky Flyer hosts an event. It has gotten not quite out of hand, but certainly bigger than it used to be. This year it has a bit with Los Angeles World Airports that they're pre-partying at the museum. What's the museum called there on the south side of the field? It's not the Museum of Flight.
That's the wrong person. I've never been.
It's really cool. It's a great museum, and but they're setting it up so that you basically can take pictures from the ramp, from the cargo ramp on the south side. There's a fence and whatnot, but you're very close to the action. It's a pretty cool thing. I believe that part is sold out now because they had some caps on the limits. It's just numbers. You didn't have to pay, but it capped out. But everybody will be hanging out at the In-N-Out / corner of Sepulveda, where you watch planes land for sometime midday, from 11 to 2 or something like that. People will be there early. People will be there late. I will certainly be there for a lot of it. You guys aren't coming this year, right?
I will not be there.
Yeah.
Nor will I.
But if you see me there, say hi. There's also NYC Aviation does their Spot LAX weekend. They have way more stuff going on. So there's a ton going on. Look up either NYC Aviation or Cranky Flyer for more details. But I will be out all day Saturday and would love to say hi to folks.
I didn't realize NYC Aviation was doing their thing, too.
Yeah, they started combining them a couple years ago to just make it easier for everybody to hang out.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, cool. Are you there all? I mean, you said you have a conference that you're going to, so.
Yeah, I'll be in Long Beach all week and then at a conference and then from there, head up to LAX for Friday and Saturday night. And then I'm on a very early flight home Sunday morning. Anyone wants to hang out at the airport at 5 a.m.
Why did you do that to yourself?
So I can be home for dinner.
Okay. But you're going to regret it.
No, I won't. I've done this one many times.
Okay. All right. JetBlue. Yeah.
The 6 a.m. departure. So if I leave the hotel at 5, walk across, I'll be in the security line at 5:20 through security 5:30, straight onto the plane, head against the wall.
See you for second nap.
Yeah. Or in morning nap. Also, it gets me back on East Coast time easier a little bit.
What are your thoughts about that JetBlue terminal at LAX?
Concessions are crap.
Concessions are probably the worst thing in that terminal. Like, I think those are the worst concessions maybe at LAX.
As you're walking towards the far end from the security checkpoint, you go down and back up, and there's a weird rock and roll restaurant or whatever, and then across from it is a little mini food court thing.
Yep.
Buried in a hole. And I want to say I got a $22 breakfast burrito last time. And it was I've had some pretty pathetic airport meals, whatever. This is one of the worst I have ever had.
It's definitely one of the dingier rundown terminals as well. Like it's just, yeah. it's beat up.
It's old.
Yeah.
And it's, as Foz will say, it's the Misfits.
It is. Definitely the Misfits. Are you going to go get a sandwich then instead?
Oh, yeah. I'll pick them up to go sandwich Saturday afternoon, put it in the fridge in my room, and bring it Sunday for my plate.
I'm not knocking it. We had Foz and I both had it. It was much better than the airplane food.
Yeah. And JetBlue, theoretically, on transcons has fresh food, but their sandwiches aren't as good as they used to be. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about before we go to the bonus topics?
Not for me.
Nope. We got a lot to talk about in the bonus topics. We're going to talk about Ryanair. We're going to talk about some Wi-Fi news, tight squeezes for Austrian and Qatar, follow up on the Horizon incident in 2023, some Go Wild Pass shenanigans, Seth's experience with Capital One and BA. I can't wait to hear this. So that's for our Patreon subscribers. If you aren't subscribed, you can listen to those topics. If not, we appreciate you listening to the show and supporting us. Seth will see you at Cranky Flyers Dorkfest Spot LAX event, and we'll talk to you next time. Happy trails.
Take care.
See you later.